Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the first Sunday after Christmas Day, and grace and peace and love from my home to yours. Thank you for connecting this morning through Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition, the last one for 2020. Can you believe it? 9.5 months of being at home with worship. And so here we are on the edge of a new beginning. I hope that you had a beautiful Christmas at home, of course, with your family or Zoom calls or whatever it looked like in your own household. Thank you for joining us as well for our Christmas Eve service. I hope that you enjoyed that and felt connected. That really is a preview of coming attractions, so to speak, as we step in to a new digital format later on in 2021. We will be going back to that as of Sunday, January 31, for a little bit of a new format. So I'll not just be in front of my laptop talking with you, but we hope to have a little more enhanced kind of digital experience as we move deeper into the new year. Well, you probably received a letter from Dr. Stuart Lord, our moderator of the Pine Street Church Leadership Council, Rick Vaughn, our treasurer, and myself this past week, and that call for year-end gifts. I invite you and encourage you, if you would like to fulfill your 2020 commitment, there are a few days left to do so. Also, every gift, of course, that you give to Pine Street Church is tax deductible, and we have a few more days to do that. Anything that you send to the church at 1237 Pine Street in Boulder, marked, postmarked by December 31, you will get that tax credit for 2020, of course. Or you can go online, pinestreetchurch.net/giving, and make your year-end gift that way. Also, we are looking ahead, of course, to 2021 and planning our mission and ministry together. And so if you have not yet had a chance to make a financial commitment for 2021, we encourage you to do that, so that we can continue to be who we are together, making a difference in the world and being a community that embraces everyone, inspires life, and creates more. Well, today we are at this last Sunday of 2020 going to explore Jesus' baby dedication in the Gospel of Luke and weaving in some themes for the new year. I know that's a sort of an artificial benchmark for some of us. You might be into making New Year's resolutions and all of that. Bless you if you are. I've never been really great at that, but I do think it's anytime we have a chance for new beginnings and to begin again, it's a good thing. So we are stepping into a new year, saying goodbye to such a difficult year, a year of loneliness and isolation and loss and weirdness and all of that. And so I hope that you might be feeling a sense of hope and optimism as we look ahead to a new year as a spiritual community and certainly in our families and as a nation. So here we are, my friends. Let us begin this worship experience together with this prayer of invocation. Gracious and creating God, God of new beginnings, we ask that you fill our hearts anew with a sense of hope, of joy, of peace, of love, and in this Christmastide, these 12 days of Christmas that we are already in the midst of, may you fill us with a sense of adventure as we embrace new horizons for 2021. Bless this time together. Bless every family, every person who is watching and seeking your presence wherever they are today. We give you great thanks for this beautiful community we call Pine Street Church. Let us celebrate your good presence with us here one more time. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. Our contemporary reading today comes from the poet John O'Donohue and his book, To Bless the Space Between Us. This is a reading for a new beginning. In out-of-the-way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wonder, This beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness growing inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered, heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent, wondered, would you always live like this? Then the delight, when your courage kindled, and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plenitude opening before you. Though your destination is not yet clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning. This is at one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. Our gospel reading today is from St. Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Hear these words. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us, we all say, thanks be to God. Well, today's gospel story is pretty perfect for the end of the year. Wait, did you hear that? The end of the year? Like the end of 2020? Come to think of it, this is, again, the last 2020 at home edition of our worship service. And wow, let's just let that sink in a little bit. 9.5 months of being in this new space together And so many wonderful and expansive and beautiful things have happened over the last 9.5 months, as hard and as challenging as these times have been. But now we're at the edge of a new beginning, as the Irish poet John O'Donohue writes. And it's a moment of new beginnings, too, in today's gospel story for the infant Jesus and his very devout parents, his very religious parents, Mary and Joseph, who do their duty and bring him to the temple as the scene is set by St. Luke. It's about as close to a baby dedication as you get, and I'm a total sucker for baby dedications, infant baptisms, you name it. Anything that marks the beauty and wonder and mystery of an infant, a newborn, a vulnerable baby coming into the world. So this Advent and Christmas season, I've been thinking of words spoken over my firstborn at her birth 12 years ago. And part of that blessing that our pastor at the time, George Mason, who was on Hyphenated Life just a few weeks ago down in Dallas, Texas, he showed up the day that Addison was born. And part of the prayer that I remember, that just sort of a one-liner, he prayed something that went like this: her life is proof and promise that God loves us and has a good future for her and for all of us. My friend and mentor that day blessed Addison and blessed our family with those good words, and did so again at her baby dedication about 6 months later or so. And he always asked the congregation something to the effect of, "Will you pledge to welcome this child of God into your lives and to help the parents to raise her in the nurture and admonition of the Lord?" And the congregation responds, "We will." And then always to the parents, he says this: "This child does not belong to you. She is God's gift to you for a season. You are stewards of her life. God depends upon you not only to provide for your child in worldly ways, but also spiritual ways. And so do you promise to keep your child within the precincts of the temple, in the precincts of the temple of God, in order that she might know that in the deepest way she is God's child first and last, and that one day she will grow to become a daughter of God through faith in Jesus Christ?" And the parents respond, "We will." It is lovely and beautiful, and it's what I think about when I read today's text from St. Luke. We meet Simeon and Anna. And Luke carefully tells us that Anna was of a great age, meaning she was, you know, up in years. But Simeon, whose beautiful prayer is used in Christian liturgies as a canticle, that canticle meaning a hymn or a chant, a sort of musical meditation, if you will, is called in the Latin nunc domitus. I'm not a great Latin language guy, by the way, but N-U-N-C and then D-I-M-I-T-I-S, nunc domitus. That's the Latin phrase for this beautiful song we get from Simeon, singing over the baby Jesus in the temple. He is assumed to be old. I mean, Luke never really says that, though. In fact, there is not one suggestion in the text that Simeon is advanced in years, teetering on the brink of death or anything like that. But it sort of stokes your imagination to think about Simeon, his age and stage in life. And, you know, one kind of fun spiritual imagination thing, and I love bringing that to the Bible, by the way, to sort of fill in the gaps here and there, to sort of imagine what we don't always get in terms of the facts of the Bible or the details. But it makes me wonder, like, what if Simeon was not really an old man, but rather even a younger man, maybe a middle-aged man? Or maybe he's young at heart, who knows? Maybe not as old as Anna, but it reminds me of what my colleague and pastor, Jim Somerville, imagines about these two characters in today's text, Simeon and Anna. I wonder if there are any Simeons or Annas in your congregation, he says, people who can remember the good old days of the church and who may be wondering what's going to become of it. And he says, if your church has been around long enough, and for Pine Street Church, my goodness, it's been almost 150 years, I'm guessing there was a time when the building was full on Sunday mornings, or nearly, because there was a time in the United States back in the 50s, the 1950s, when going to church was simply the Sunday morning thing to do. He says, I call it the church-going boom, and it coincided almost exactly with the baby boom, 1946 to 1964. The war was over, soldiers and sailors came home and married their high school sweethearts. They moved into houses with white picket fences and began to have babies, lots of babies. Those parents wanted their babies to grow up in the church just as they had. And they came by the hundreds, by the thousands, and soon churches were scrambling to find enough nursery space and then enough Sunday school space for all those babies, all those children who were growing up within the precincts of the temple. And because their parents were coming to church too, they needed bigger sanctuaries. They built them or added additional services, and for a little while, at least those sanctuaries were full. So Jim goes on to say, for a number of reasons, things began to change. And in a book called Resident Aliens by Duke Chaplain Will Williman, it suggests that things began to change not in 63 BC, but on Sunday evening in 1963. He writes in that book, Resident Aliens, then in Greenville, South Carolina, in defiance of the state's time-honored blue laws, the Fox Theater opened on Sunday, and he says seven of us, regular attenders of the Methodist Youth Fellowship at our church, made a pact to enter the front door of the church, be seen, and then quietly slip out the back door and join John Wayne at the Fox Theater. And that evening has come to represent a watershed in the history of Christendom, South Carolina style. On that night, Greenville, South Carolina, the last pocket of resistance to secularity in the Western world, served notice that it would no longer be a prop for the church. There would be no more free passes, no more free rides. That is to say that the church no longer would be the hub of the culture. It wouldn't be that just everybody assumed that you go to church on Sunday, right? And so some of you who are watching today are old enough to remember the so-called church boom in the 50s and 60s era. And you know what it was like. You know how that felt. And you know how it feels to look back and remember those days, right? And I know you well enough, many of you well enough. There's part of you that would want to get back to that somehow. But truth be told, unlike Jesus' religious parents who were drawn and called and beckoned to be in the temple, we know it's not quite that way anymore. Whether the first century or the 21st century, whether it's 63 or 1963, we could digress about that for quite a while. But I want to go back to Simeon because, the text sort of indicates that he might have been old, but again, in our spiritual imaginations, maybe not, but at least old enough to remember what Israel had been like before the Romans came, to remember what it had been like when it was free. Those were the good old days. And Simeon and others like him have been praying for deliverance ever since. And so when Joseph and Mary walk into the temple with that baby in their arms, Simeon said, "Now, Lord, now I can die in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation." What would it take for you to say that about your church? What kind of reassurance would you need that things are just going to be okay? And is it enough to know that God is with you? And if God is with you, that all will be well. You don't need to be nervous or anxious or clingy, right? So there's some sort of message in Simeon's song that he sings when Joseph and Mary bring the infant Jesus to the temple for his own sort of baby dedication, if you will. So today, I would just ask, what can Simeon show you and me? I think for one thing, all of us know what it feels like to be passionate and inspired by a compelling dream, what we really want to happen. You know, for Simeon, he was schooled in the stories of Abraham and Sarah from the Hebrew Bible, Ruth and David. The one captivating dream of his life was to see the Messiah, was to see the Anointed One. And there was a longing, a you might say even a haunting or a yearning in his being to know that God had fulfilled God's promise to deliver God's people. And when Simeon took the infant Jesus in his arms, he held the dream that had held him from childhood. I would wager that every one of us, we have dreams that might not be just like Simeon's, but we have dreams. We have big dreams. We have a yearning in our souls to turn the big page of life and there to find a deeper sense of fulfillment and joy, no matter our age and stage in life. Just ask Simeon and Anna. And for some, you know, that means completing a long, demanding journey through college and graduate school. Many of you know what that's like. For others, it's, you know, starting the career of their dreams or really getting to do what they have wanted to do from the time they put a toy tool belt around their waist or checked the heartbeat of a cherished doll. And when that dream becomes reality, they can say with Simeon, "Lord, now you can dismiss your servant, not to die, but to fully live, to fully celebrate that sort of legacy, to fully enter into the life calling that has danced in their dreams for a long time." And there is a second reality that I think is dancing along the lines or in between the lines of today's gospel story. And simply put, God is always in the business of bringing God's salvation into the mainstream of our living, of our real human lives. And whether we know it in our heads or feel it in our hearts or not, remember what we have reiterated as recently as 3 days ago on Christmas Eve, and those words of Madeline L'Engle ring so true in me, and I know you've heard it a lot, Pine Street Church and with our new podcast, Hyphenated Life, but I really am so captivated by this when she writes, "There is nothing so secular that it cannot be sacred." And this is one of the deepest messages of the Incarnation. So Simeon's prayer of thanksgiving, put it this way, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." My friends, we are now in the midst of what is a wonderful and magical season of Christmastide. You know the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? Well, there's the Hallmark calendar and there's the church calendar, and we usually abide the church calendar, the global church calendar, and we are in that season of Christmastide, those 12 days of Christmas leading up to Epiphany. The long wait of Advent is over, and we are celebrating the birth of Christ with carols and color and hope. And Christmas shouts many things, not the least of which is that God is passionately and fully committed to making sure that our human family is healed and whole and full of justice and full of beauty and in alignment, that great conjunction of what is on the outside and the inside sort of matching up. This is the meaning of Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, come, Emmanuel, that we've been singing for weeks. And what if we who sing, Joy to the world, the Lord is come, could take that joyous carol and infuse our every moment with that reality? And what would that reality be? That God is always at every turn bringing the gift of salvation and the gift of life that really is life, the gift of joy, the gift of hope, the gift of peace to all who will hold the Christ child in their arms. There is not a person in your life, family, friends, colleagues, neighbors, fellow pineheads, who do not long for salvation to awaken, to erupt, to shine in their lives. And in today's gospel, Simeon invites us to be salvation people, healing people, eager to live our lives with a joy to the world purpose. And so here we are at the edge of a new beginning, with 2020 almost in the rearview mirror and a whole new horizon ahead with 2021. And where does this leave us? In those words from Irish poet John O'Donohue that we read earlier, that delight when your courage is kindled and you stepped out onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plenitude opening before you, trust the promise of this new opening. Hey, what if we do that together? Just 5 days before we cross the threshold into a new year, a new season, a new beginning, it leaves us with an invitation to journey with Simeon from the place of worship in the temple to a world of opportunity and need. And we've been doing that on steroids since March 15, 2020. If you would have told me at the beginning of the year that we'd not meet in person for worship for 9 months plus, I might have said that I wouldn't know how the church could survive. How would it survive that sort of disruption? We've never done it this way before. But we didn't quit. And we haven't just survived, we've actually thrived. As Stuart and Rick and I said in our end of year giving letter last week, one thing we have learned along the way, neither Colorado wildfires, nor emotional storms, nor COVID-19 can separate us from the love of God and one another. Together we have overcome truly tremendous odds this year to be the church despite extraordinary challenges. And like Simeon, we have learned that the church is not just bricks and mortar. The church is you and me. The church is scattered when not gathered. And it's not a place, a building where we stay forever. And even in a non-global pandemic reality, we are at the church for worship, what, 1 hour per week? So being a spiritual community has always had to do with what happens outside of that 1 hour, a call to be inspired by that wonderful worship together that we all miss, yes. But in order to live in the reality of our dreams, to live as salvation people, to live in community as God created us to live. So finally, and I really mean finally, young or old or rich or poor or black or white or brown or gay or straight or a longtime church nerd or just getting started with what church even means, it's this beautiful mosaic of God's dreams that are right in front of us. With all the hope and promise we feel when a baby is born, the proof and promise all over again that God loves us and has a good future for us and each of us. This is God's dream, inviting us to live in the prime time of our lives, to find that sweet spot in our lives where we can feel the full force of the blessing and truth. God is not done with me yet. Yeah. To receive it as a gift, just as we received God's gift in Christ, we pay it forward, we pray it forward, by being God's gift for Christ to the people we've been given to love and to serve. and to the community we are called to serve, and to the world who craves to know the beauty and truth for all we've gone through in 2020, like labor pains and suffering and loss and loneliness. There is something new that is being born. 9.5 months. Hello, 9 months after all this has begun. This whole weird era and reality, something new is being born, my friends. Through you, through me, through our life together. Blessed be. And cheers to a brand new year of possibility right in front of us now. Amen. My friends, thank you for joining us for Pine Street Church Worship at Home Edition on this last Sunday of 2020. I wish you a happy new year to you and your family. I know what a strange season it has been in 2020 and what it continues to be, but I am grateful to be in community with you. I'm grateful to be the pastor of Pine Street Church and to be doing this adaptive ministry in such an odd and unusual time, but we're doing it. We're fulfilling our mission in ministry thanks to your generosity and thanks to having skin in the game, so to speak, as we are community together and continuing to be a community that embraces everyone, inspires life, and creates more. There are about 4 more days left in 2020 to make a year-end gift, and I again want to remind you to please do that. You can do that 2 ways, by sending in a check to 1237 Pine Street, Boulder, Colorado by December 31, postmarked by December 31, or for ease, you can go to pinestreetchurch.net/giving and make a year-end gift that way. So that's one thing. The second thing is, if you haven't yet made a financial commitment for 2021, New Horizons 2021, we encourage you to do that so that we can be planning ahead for our ministry and mission in 2021. My thanks to all of you for being, for enduring and persevering through such a hard time. I know it's a hard time for so many of us. Know that our hearts are joined across the miles and in this space. You are not alone, my friends. You are not alone. And as we step into 2021 on the edge of a new beginning, I hope that you feel the full force of blessing and hope and opportunity that we all have in front of us, personally and certainly as a community here at Pine Street Church. Well, much love, blessing. I hope it's a great last few days of the year for you and that you enjoy your New Year's Eve, however you choose to spend it and celebrate it. As you do, it's so important for you to remember who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are friends and disciples of Christ Jesus. And the love and the peace and the joy and the justice and the beauty and the generosity of God are forever at loose through you. Go now and live like it is true. Amen.